Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too. Hey, Fried fam. Today, we have a series of questions about leadership and burnout that came to me through a Facebook message, and I asked if I could use the questions directly so that I could answer them directly because it was a bunch of really good questions all at once. So we're going to dive into what it takes to deal with burnout when you are the leader or you're the business owner and you have to make some changes. The first question that was asked was this: how do I maintain a healthy workplace culture while recovering from burnout? First of all, let's start with saying you weren't in a healthy workplace culture, so we're not maintaining anything. Let's start with that. We have to understand that if your workplace culture was healthy, it's more likely that you wouldn't have ended up here. But there are probably some factors within that workplace and within that culture that need some shifting. Figuring out what those are is not necessarily your job, and this is where you hire someone like me to come in and help you figure these things out. This could be if you are a founder, a co-founder, a small business owner. This can be part of your burnout recovery coaching. It can be, hey, let's figure me out and let's also figure out some solutions for my company at the same time. Within a company, this can be as part of a leadership team. There's different ways to go about it, but suffice it to say that we're not maintaining any of the culture that you had before because it wasn't working. It didn't work for you. So we have to find a way to support you in your burnout recovery and figure out what things need to change within the workplace. This requires outside help. You cannot, no matter how smart you are, no matter what kind of leader you are, you cannot and should not be figuring this out by yourself. So the real question that you should be asking is, how can I influence the creation of a healthier workplace culture while I'm recovering from burnout? So you've got to get help. You've got to share with your team what's going on. You don't need to give them all the dirty nitty gritty of your situation, but being open and communicating what's actually happening and what you're trying to figure out might lead to some solutions that you hadn't considered. As someone who's been on both sides of this conversation so many times, I will tell you that there are things in your workplace culture that are unnecessary and redundant, and your employees know exactly what they are. So having an open conversation about this with your employees might lead you to shifting your standard operating procedures for some of the things that you do and taking some things off everybody's plates, like meetings that should have been emails, you know? The third answer, as you recover from burnout, is that you will be naturally creating a healthier workplace because you will be modeling behaviors that are more burnout protective than burnout creative. So that's something that happens along the way as you go through your recovery. You start behaving differently. You start engaging with work differently. You start having different boundaries, and those things will start to shift some of them automatically. So really, the big answer here is you don't do it alone. You get support. This is something you have to invest in. It might not have been in your budget. And guess what? You have to do it anyway. So sorry, I guess. The next question was, What if my recovery requires radical restructuring of my business, which may result in layoffs? How do owners manage the guilt around this? My first answer when I was writing this out said, get over yourself. And I don't mean that to sound harsh, but I need you to understand that people would much rather work for a well-resourced and well-rounded and healthy leader than a burnt-out one. I want you to consider that you might be doing some people a favor by releasing them. If you are someone who typically burns out, and you're a people pleaser and a perfectionist. As a business owner, you likely hired other people that are people pleasers and perfectionists. So you might have employees that are holding on just to help you out. And really, they've wanted to go for like 2 years. So you really need to figure out, well, you don't need to figure out, you need to understand that some people you might be letting go and it might be absolutely the best possible thing for them. And that's the energy that you should carry into every single conversation you have about someone leaving your company. It should be with this idea that you are opening doors for them to go do something that's better aligned, better suited, better resourced, etc. So that part of it can move some of the guilt. Outside of that, part of your burnout recovery is actually learning how to deal with difficult emotions, and guilt is a difficult emotion. So I think one of the part of this question is like, how do I do this without feeling guilty? Even though the wording was manage the guilt, and I think that's the correct wording. But you might feel guilty, and maybe that's fine. So the question really becomes, how do I cope with guilt? Now, there's a previous Straight From Kate episode titled How to Deal with Guilt Associated with Burnout that I think you should really listen to if you are overcome with guilt about saying yes, saying no, making changes, asking for things, not doing things, etc. Because guilt has an awkward moral component to it, which often is, when you really dig into it, kind of really selfish and self-absorbed. And when you understand how it's really working, it makes it easier to move through it. And then on a more just sort of everyday scale, you move through guilt the way you move through any emotions. You move your body. Maybe you'll do some journaling. You might talk to a therapist. You might talk with a trusted partner. So reaching into your community, reaching into the people that support you, and getting your body moving so that things don't get stuck are all good and healthy ways to manage things. But the episode on guilt, I think, is an important one. Once again, it's titled How to Deal with Guilt Associated with Burnout. And it really digs into guilt in an interesting way. Fried fam, I tell you in nearly every episode that step one of your burnout recovery is blood work. And I know that a lot of you avoid it because it's a pain and because your doctor has told you that everything is quote unquote fine. And they refuse to test all the things that you think you need. What if I told you that you could test what you want, when you want, from your home with just a couple of drops of blood? SciFox Health allows you to do just that. You can buy tests as one-offs or join a membership. Either way, you can test and track your results to help you make decisions about your burnout recovery journey. Get 10% off any membership, subscription, or one-time test kit right now. Go to scifoxhealth.com/fried for your discount. That's scifoxhealth.com/fried. The next question, bum bump. If my employees are coming to me asking for solutions to their burnout that ultimately exacerbate my burnout, how do owners proceed or how do I proceed? So if those are the only solutions that they can see and the only solutions that you can see, then we're back to question number one, how do we adjust and create a healthier workplace culture? You might have created a business or a team that is overloaded with work and under-resourced with support. This is called an increase in job demand, and it's one of the biggest drivers of burnout. So the question often here is, how do we become more resourced so that we don't have such a high job demand or job strain, right? And this is sometimes you're coming up with these solutions, sometimes you're farming out these solutions and having an open conversation and saying, hey, listen, we are both in this situation where we are dealing with high stress and trying to manage our health around it. But if I take this on, it makes me worse. If you keep it on, it makes you worse. What other kind of creative solutions can we come up with so that this doesn't end up really on either of our plates? This is really one of those times where tapping into ChatGPT might be a really great solution to give you some ideas of different solutions. Because if your only vision of the solution is making your world worse, that's part of your burnout recovery. Unwinding why that's true for you, unwinding why it's true for you that you would need to take it something on personally is part of your burnout recovery. And it might be that you only work with two other people and that's your whole business. So if they don't do it, you have to do it because it won't get done. But then maybe we get resourced by hiring a VA to take some other things off your plate part-time so that you can manage this thing. So this is all about adjusting resources. And as a business owner myself, please trust and know that when I say you need to hire someone, I know that that's not always in your budget. I know that you don't just have an unending bank account that you can pull money out of and fix all your problems with money. I also know from years and years and years of experience that when you purchase support that is really needed, somehow it works out. And that might sound just sort of like unreasonable, but I've seen it happen again and again and again in my business and in people's businesses that I work with. One of the reasons that I burnt out in my first acupuncture business was because I didn't understand at the time that hiring a receptionist would end up making me more money rather than just being a cost. And I didn't understand that because I didn't understand how much time and effort and energy I was spending doing all of the work that a receptionist could have done. I could have seen an extra 20 patients a week, which would have easily paid for my receptionist, and then some. So if your brain is telling you that the only solution is one that puts more stuff on your plate, then this is something that you should be working through with a burnout coach, with a mentor, with your board of directors, with your boss, if there is one, with et cetera, right? Because this is not something you should be figuring out alone. And there's probably some creative solutions that you haven't considered. And this last question that I really loved. I don't know how to put this nicely, but it often feels like employees feel justified in punching up, and it hurts and contributes to my own burnout and then their own. Can we explore the role that employees can take to humanizing their employers and challenge the assumption that the entire burden of setting and resetting the culture rests on the leader? You might not like this answer. While I believe that humanizing is an incredibly important part of every interaction with everyone in our lives, I'm not actually sure that we can challenge the assumption that the burden of setting and resetting the culture rests in the leader, because it does. Leaders have to be the drivers of change. And employees can contribute to that, but not before the leader sets the tone and the direction. That is literally the job. Now, this gets more complicated in smaller businesses. Like I said, if you're only three employees or five employees and you, this becomes a little more complicated because the roles are a little more fluid. There's a little like more and less responsibility on certain tasks and certain items. So it becomes a little more complicated. However, Your energy sets the tone for everyone's energy. And when you're burnt out, that burnout is contagious. If your employees are asking you to take a week off, things are bad. Asking you if you'll take a week off, I mean, that means things are bad and they need a break from you because this is not going well. And some people remain employees and don't become leaders because they don't want this responsibility. So once the direction and tone of the culture is set, then employees should be contributing to it. But they should not be the ones creating it and deciding about it. That's not their role. So yeah, that might not be the answer that you wanted, but it's the answer that I believe to be true. I also believe that if all of us understood burnout a little bit better, we would know that a leader could create an absolutely perfect environment, and there will still be some people that burn out within that environment. That being said, if you were in a perfect environment and you were not burnt out, you would see someone else burning out, and you would likely try and make adjustments with them before it got to that point. But when you're overwhelmed by the culture and you're burnt out already, you can't see everything that's going around you. One of the things that happens during burnout, and this is fascinating, is you lose some of your peripheral vision, actually physically lose peripheral vision, which kind of also works in a brain way. Like, you also can't see solutions that are not right in front of you. So when you're burnt out, you kind of tunnel vision yourself, and it's really hard for you to see the bigger picture and how everything is interacting. But when employees bring it up to you, it's your job to manage it, which is why you should not be going through burnout recovery alone when you are a leader. Often companies will have budgets for coaching for things like this. I have had many people's companies pay for their burnout recovery coaching at least by half over the years because they wanted to keep an employee and they weren't sure how to go about it. Sometimes I'm working within the company to help them shift culture and working one-on-one with two or three of the leaders at the same time. This just isn't work that you should be doing on your own. Because if you could do it and already knew how to do it, you wouldn't be where you are. And being where you are, you have less capacity to manage it. So getting support is the absolute most important piece, whether that's a coach, a therapist, a mentor, a board, a co-founder, whoever it happens to be. Getting support is critical. So yes, you're a leader. And yes, you should have support to do these things. And yes, the culture is in your hands. But that can be a good thing, because when you recover from burnout and you start modeling burnout protective behaviors, you can shift an entire organization and you can be on the team that helps end a burnout culture. I would love to have you there if that's you. I want to know what this episode sparks for you. So if you are in our Facebook group, please come in and let us know what you're thinking. And lastly, I haven't asked for podcast reviews in ages. So if you are listening on an Apple device, I would love to have a 5-star review from you. It helps us stay high in the charts and helps us stay findable, searchable, and makes me happy. All right. Thank you. See you next time.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.